will be a blessing to you. If I stumble through this today, just know that I'm running on low energy, but we operate in the Holy Spirit, amen? That song got me through the revival, by the way. I downloaded that song. I've heard it, you worshiped to it before, but I downloaded it on the way down to Arkansas, somewhere between Jackson and Memphis, because I was going through a lot of doubt and a lot of insecurities as far as why they were asking me to come preach and why they were warning me, and I was doing a lot of comparison. Well, this is better, that's better. I'm not doing this, I'm not doing that. I know nobody in this room deals with stuff like that. You never compare yourself to other people. You never worry that you're not good enough and all that stuff. But as sometimes the devil attacks in different ways. A lot of times he attack in your mind. So I began to use that song to worship all the way down there, and I just talked it out with Jesus. Every night, every day, on my way back from meeting, on the way to meeting, I would just talk to Jesus. I would just tell him, you know, this is what the enemy says, but this is what you say. This is who you say that I am, so I'm going to trust that more than I trust in the way I feel. Some of you sitting here this very morning, you trust more about what the enemy and in your mind says than what God says. You need to relinquish that and say, God, I trust you more than I trust my feelings. Amen. I'll trust you when I can't even trust myself. Amen. I know nobody else struggles like that, but if you, there's maybe a few in here that'll be real with me and be honest. I do too. Amen. I do. But God uses us despite of that. Have I given you enough time to find 2 Samuel 10? I thought we were going to have all the graduates here today, and I thought maybe we'll do this for them, but I'll be honest with you, it's not just a graduate message. This is a message for everybody, amen? I don't do particular messages for groups of people. I usually just do messages that are camouflaged for one group but hit everybody else. 2 Samuel 10, 1, and it came to pass after this. Are y'all seeing that? It came to pass after this. Well, after what? After David started establishing everything, David was anointed. He was anointed to be the king, and then several years, 17 to 25 years later, he became the king of Judah and Jerusalem. Amen? Somebody might want to know this is a process. Just because God says it over here, it takes a while to get over there. Amen? Sometimes we get stuff, we get a word from God, and we think it's going to happen like we're going to order it here, and it's going to come in this window. Amen? A lot of times it's going to happen. 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road. So be willing to wait on God. So after this, David is having the time of his life. He's being king. He's king of Jerusalem. Everybody's anointing him. Everybody's on board. He gets the grand idea to build God's temple. Y'all know that? He looked over and he said, I'm living in a wonderful house. I think God should live in a house just as equal to mine. I feel the same way. Amen? If we got great stuff, I think God needs great stuff. Amen? So he gets out this great plan, and I love what Nathan's a preacher. I could tell Nathan's a preacher or a prophet, because when you hear that somebody wants to build an awesome house of God, you just agree with them. Y'all stay with me. I'll go on somewhere. He says, hey, if y'all didn't know this, I mean, maybe two or three of y'all know this, we're in the middle of building a sanctuary to God, right? But he goes, I'm going to build God a sanctuary as nice as my house. And he goes, okay. And Nathan goes, do it. Off the hip. Do it. Well, then as Nathan's walking away, God spoke to him and said, go back and tell King David not to, because he's not the man to build God's house. I love this. I'm kind of preaching to us right now. So guess what happens? He goes back, and Nathan, that excited preacher who wants that new sanctuary, he goes back to him and says, you're not the one. God said, don't build it. He said, you got too much blood on your hands, David. He's going to bring somebody up right after you, Solomon. He's going to bring him up. He's going to let him build it. He's going to have peace. He's not going to have blood on his hands. He's going to be the one to build it. Oh, gosh, I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on right here. Watch this. Hey, he goes, watch this. David says, so I can't build it. He said, no, David, you can't. He goes, okay, I got you. I'm not going to build it. But you did not say, Lord, you did not say that I couldn't store up the building supplies. Amen. David started stacking up gold and bronze and silver and wood. He started making deals. He said, look, when Solomon comes along, he ain't going to have to do nothing but put the pieces together. I love that. Amen. So everything's going good. You might want to touch your neighbor right here and say, everything's going good. When everything's going good, you'll have a little bit of an attack coming. Amen. Don't be surprised when everything's going good that you don't get attacked. Amen. And sometimes, let's not say all the time, but a lot of times it'll be from somebody that you think is a friend. Amen. Somebody you think or trust is somebody that you love or they love you. Amen. You might want to write that one down, because that's going to be sneaky in your life. Amen. That's going to be sneaky. I'm going to go ahead and slow down. Look at you. There are going to be times as a Christian that you're going to get attacked by somebody that you thought loved you, and they probably do. You thought they were a friend. They probably are. But they're not operating in the right spirit. And it's going to catch you off guard because you expected an attack from somebody that you didn't like or wasn't for you and you knew it already. But that attack hurts worse than anyone because it kind of hits you from a blind spot. Does that make sense now? Okay, that's where David's at. He's doing good and excited, and he's conquered everybody that was supposed to be an enemy. The Philistines are almost down to nothing. Amen? All right? The Amalekites are all but washed away. Amen? So he's fixed the losses. So he's like, there's nobody really left to give me any fit, so I'm doing good. And there's going to be times when you're Christian walking, you're like, man, we're walking up in the clouds. We're doing good. Ain't nothing going to happen. Right? What's this right here? The king of the children of Ammon died. Hanun, his son, reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash, and as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hands of his servants for his father. And David's servant came in the land of the children of Ammon, and the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun, their lord, thinkest thou that David doth honor thee, thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search out the city, to spy it out, and to overthrow it? Wherefore Hanun took David's servants and shaved off the one half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle, even unto their buttocks, and sent them away. And when they told it to David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, tarry in Jericho until your beards be grown, then return. This is amazing stuff. David's got an honorable friend in this, Hezron's dad. And he says, all right, I'm going to go over there and I'm going to send bereavement. I'm going to send them. They've been good to me. We've had a relationship. But I want to tell you this. God doesn't have any grandchildren. Amen. Y'all probably heard that. If you've been around the church at all, you're going to hear that. You'll hear it. It is absolutely true. God doesn't have any grandchildren. It's a personal relationship between you and Jesus. Amen. It's a part. You must be saved. It doesn't matter if your father and mother and grandmother, all of them are spiritual people and you were raised in a church. You can be raised anywhere. It doesn't mean you're a Christian, okay? You could be around Christianity. It doesn't mean you have it. Amen. So guess what? This, all of a sudden, this man takes over, and his father knew the anointed king. Amen. He knew the anointed king, had a relationship with him. But the moment he passed away, this man did not have a relationship. I would tell you right now, without a shadow of doubt, get your relationship with the Lord figured out. Amen. If you're sitting here and you're thinking, I'm going to get into heaven because, well, I was raised in a Baptist church, or I was raised in the Methodist church, I was raised in the Catholic, I've been around them all. We're all sinners. We're all falling short of the glory of God. We've heard that our whole life, but it's absolutely true. There is no kin relationship to get you into heaven. Amen. Even the Jewish people today must be born again. Amen. A lot of people think, well, no, they're God's people. They're getting in. No, they've got to come the same way you come, through the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Amen. There have been types and shadows all the way down through history of Jesus. But guess what? David is one type of that. His dad passed away and he had no relationship. And the next thing I want to tell you is, be careful of the people you hang around with and listen to. Amen? He had some advisors around him and told him who David was, who the anointed king was, and what he was about. Some of y'all are going to listen to people who have no clue or idea of who Jesus is. Amen? They're going to tell you things that God is pleased with you doing great works, or he's going to be pleased with you going to this church, or you pleased with you doing this kind of stuff, wearing these kind of clothes, this kind of haircut, this kind of whatever. God is only pleased is when you are born again, saved, and covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? When you believe, listen to this, I want to give you a statistic, and it's one of the most amazing statistics you'll ever hear. 100% of the people who believe in Jesus Christ will go to heaven. 100% of the people who do not believe in Jesus Christ will go to hell. Fact. Amen? Those are statistics that are absolutely bear out to be fact and true. Amen? So guess what? He had some people around him who were sitting there going, I know who this anointed one is. He's not here to help you. He's here to hurt you. God is not here to hurt you. He's here to help you. Amen? When God introduced himself, when he comes by way of the Holy Spirit, when he comes by way of witness, but when he comes way of gospel, you're sitting there going, man, he's trying to hurt me. When I first met Jesus, he hurt me. Amen? He hurt me to save me. The Bible says it this way, if you fall upon Christ and be broken, he will heal you. If Jesus falls upon you and crushes you, there is no healing. Amen? What it is Jesus wants to break you to make you. I'm going to give you a bumper sticker right there. He'll break you to make you. That means he'll go to that one place. He'll go to that one place that he can find that will break your heart to where you receive who he is as Lord and Savior. He's not trying to make you mad. He's not trying to kill you. He's not trying to destroy you, even though it feels like it. Amen. It reminds me, and I don't like to preach this because I've preached it so many times here, and I'm sure people will say, well, he always preaches that, but you can't help but fall in love with the Word of God, but the woman at the well, right? The woman at the well, when she came, she wasn't looking to get saved, but Jesus was looking to save her. Amen? When she showed up, there was only one place of true brokenness in her life. She had acted like it wasn't a broken place. She had isolated herself. She had become one person doing one thing by herself, but then Jesus sat down. Amen? In her life. Every time I read that story, I love it. Everybody says he must go through Samaria, but I love the part where he sits down in the well and he sends everybody away. He sits down. Jesus will roadblock you in your life. Amen? He will. He'll sit right where you're normally traveling, where you're going through, where you kind of do life, where you let yourself down. Nobody else will be there. Nobody, none of the evil, none of the wicked, none of the preachers, none of the teachers, none of them will be there. It'll just be you and Jesus. Amen? You'll have no excuse. You'll say, he sat down, he waited on her. Golly, I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on this morning. He's sitting there waiting on her. Man, how many times did Jesus wait on us? Good Lord, I'm so glad that he waited on me. Amen? I'm glad somebody like me. The woman at the well makes me looks bad. Amen? I mean, I was way worse than she was. Amen? Five husbands and not, man, that was weak. My life was a wreck. And Jesus sat in the dry place. Amen? Where there was a well, he sat in a dry place for me. And he waited on me. And when I got there, he had a conversation with me and saved me and changed my life. That's how he does you. Amen? That's what he does, waiting on you. But he said, hey, do you want this living water that you don't have to come to the well anymore? And she was excited. She was thinking two parts. No, y'all. She was thinking two parts. I don't have to go back down there to that stinking well ever again. All right? I don't have to get out and be embarrassed. I don't have to go out in front of everybody. I could just stay. That's one part of physically she's thinking of herself, right? Then she's like, it would be nice to have it. And Jesus says, well, you only got to do one thing. Go get your husband. Oh, he just, right in the gut. Right in the gut. He hits her right in the gut. And she's just, I mean, just reeling. My people say that we worship here in this mountain. She went spiritual on him. When you're about to get saved, a lot of times you throw up the only things you know about God. Amen? My people, my fathers, they say we worship in this mountain. You say we worship in Jerusalem. Who's right, them or them? Is it good that we worship up in the mountain, or is it better that you worship in Jerusalem? And Jesus just smiles. You know, it's funny. God is a spirit. Can I blow y'all up right there? God is a spirit. That's why, listen, if God is a spirit can't die, because if a spirit could die, God could die. Amen? Your spirit has to reside somewhere for eternity, either in heaven or hell. When you die, it's not the end, it's the very beginning. Amen? You're either going to be in heaven or hell. So guess what? God can't die, so you can't God. That's a principle. That's a law, right? So I love what he just says. He said, God is a spirit. Oh, I love that. We're going to be in heaven spiritually before we get there physically. Amen? He goes, but those that worship him, those that really worship him, the ones that really love him, they'll do it in spirit and truth. And it don't matter if you're on the mountain or down in Jerusalem. It don't matter if you're on the mountain at Flat Top or down in the valley in Soddy Daisy or in Dunlap. Praise God. Those that worship him will worship him in spirit and in truth. Guess what? I have found God to be so good that I could worship him no matter where I'm at and what I'm doing. I can ride down the road and say, God is good. I can be in the pulpit and say, God is good. I can be on my lowest day or highest day, best day, worst day, and everywhere in between. And God is there. Amen. Boy, ain't that something. That woman then became the greatest evangelist Samaria's ever known. She went down into the city and just shared the fact that she had met a man. She said, I met a man. Now, she had met men before that, but she had never met men like that. And I could tell you the same. Listen to this. I've met people before that, but I've never met anybody like Jesus. Amen. Don't tell me that you love Jesus if you don't want to tell other people about him. It's one of the secrets you can't keep to yourself. Amen. It's like if you won the lottery or if you won a bunch of money or if you got something, you would want to tell somebody. You'd want to say, hey, guess what? I don't mean to bring this up, but guess what happened? I won $1 million. You'd work it into every conversation you had. If you won $1 million tomorrow, you'd be like, hey, guess what? Now, you probably wouldn't share it with your family, but you would share it with somebody. Amen. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that last part. But you would tell somebody, well, you wouldn't believe what happened. The other day I was doing this, and you know the story would be told. But guess what? We got something richer than $1 million. We got money can't purchase what we have. We have got eternal forgiveness through Jesus Christ our Lord. How do you keep that a secret? How do you not tell somebody from where you are to where you are now? Amen? Where you were to where you are now. I love that. Let's go a little further. worry about the advisors you have in your life. Verse 5 is a biblical reference to it's an amazing thing to have a beard and be a Christian. I'll just let that sink in. I just threw that in for excellence. Tarry ye at Jericho until your beards be grown. That's biblical, guys. I'm sorry. Y'all don't laugh. I don't care. Verse 6, and when the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians and Betharab and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and of the king of Mecha, the 1,000 men, and Ishtob, 12,000 men. And when David heard it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men. And the children of Ammon came out and put the battle in array as the entering into the gate. And the Syrians of Zobah and of Rehob and Ishtob and Maacah were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw the front of the battle was against him before and behind, and he chose all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. I want to say this right here real quick. Sometimes life will get in a situation where you're between a rock and a hard place. You can't go forward and you can't go backward. You'll be kind of surrounded by your problem. Amen? Joab, you want to write this down. Joab is a mighty man of valor. He is a warrior. He is David's mighty warrior, okay? He is the leader of the army, okay? So guess what? He has no fear in himself. I love this about he is chosen by the anointed one. That's us, amen? We don't fight all of our battles in a physical sense with swords and guns and weapons and wrestling and fighting and blood and sweat and tears. We do it through prayer. We do it through reading. We do it through trusting God in faith more than we trust what we see and feel. We do it in a different way. We have a different language. We talk about different things. When everybody else is saying fight, kill, destroy, we're saying peace, joy, love, happiness. We've got a peace that passes all understanding. Our language sounds different. We're in the same battle, but in a spiritual sense, the battle changes. When the devil says, I'll give you this example. When the devil says, give out insults. Is there anybody in here likes to give a rhetorical, somebody says something about you, you want to say about them? Oh, gosh, y'all are so spiritual. Well, maybe I could dig a little deeper. What if somebody says something about your kids? Do you say bless them? They just don't know what they're doing? Or do you kind of start thinking about, what about their kids? Let me run a laundry list of the things that I know about them. Still, we're just a little bit more spiritual than we need to be right there, right? Somebody says something bad about you, your family, your kids. And you hear it? Amen? You know what our warfare is? Forgiveness. I believe one reason we don't see a lot of people saved is, guess what? We don't give forgiveness right away. We make people earn it. Right? And all of a sudden you get that first word. You say, oh, well, you know what I'd do. Let me go ahead and say it the way I'd say it. I'm a believer and I'm a Christian, but you know, if they keep running their mouth. Amen? I preface it. I do. I preface it. I probably won't do that, but you know what? I mean, if they just keep on, you know what I'm saying? They're going to push me too far, and then I'm going to turn one cheek, but you know what? God didn't say to do whatever after that. Y'all said some of the same stuff I say. I kind of see it now. Forgiveness, love, make peace where you can make peace. Amen? in those situations, we start to try to turn the thing. See, our battle and our warfare is not carnal. It's not that. If we want to tear down the strongholds of what's going on in both families, in both places, in both Israel, we start praying for one another and praying for wisdom and praying for God to show us a way out of it. And you know what? If you wait on God long enough, a lot of times He'll show you a break in the enemy. He'll show you a break. Say this instead of that. Bless them instead of curse them. Forgive them. Oh, let me just be real. Let me just be real, Dana. I cannot just be real. Sometimes you know he'll say, hey, Kevin, just shut up until I fix it. Y'all can say amen every once in a while. Act like you've been. Hey, has God ever had to make you just shut up? You look a lot wiser when you just shut up. Amen? I'm being honest with you. Sometimes I'm like, what were you going to say, wise brother? I'm going to let it pass, and I'll let God fix it. Amen? You can let it roll around in your head. You can marinate it in your brain, but don't let it touch your tongue, and it won't hurt nobody. Amen? Whew. Some of y'all might need to write that down because some of y'all say it too much. You say it too quick. What's this right here? I love this. Joab, y'all want to write this down. Joab is the older. He is the stronger. Sometimes when we are the older or the stronger believer, we think we are somehow on a level that other Christians are not on. We are not. Amen? Whew. Well, let me go. Let me show you. And he said, verse 10, and the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai. Abishai is his younger brother, the weaker, it seemed like, that he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. Amen? He took out a choice. He took out the special forces, right? The special forces in the chariots. He said, we're going to go against the first group. He said, my younger brother, the weaker, I'm going to give you more troops. I'm going to give you an overwhelming number, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to need them because they're going to be tough too. But I'm going to take the special forces and I'm going to go against these guys, and we're a little bit more experienced. Are y'all staying with me? I love talking about stuff like this because I'm a guy. Amen? So the special forces chariot group, we're going over here and we're going to fight. We're powerful. But guess what? Brother, I love you. I'm going to give you an overwhelming number, and you're going to go against this other group. And I'm going to fight the ones in the front. You're going to fight the ones in the behind, okay? Behind us. We're going to fight. Y'all good? Man, I wish Christians would get together. Matter of fact, let's just boil it all down. I wish this church would start to get together and say, I know you have battles, and I have battles. Let's fight them together. I'll fight over here, and you fight over there. But we'll be fighting together because we're going to be praying for one another, loving one another, and in the fight together. But watch, I love it. It gets even better. Watch what he says. This is the older brother still. Remember that. The more powerful. Be of good courage. No, wait a minute. He said, okay, verse 11, sorry. This is the older brother speaking to the younger brother. He said, and he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. Whew. Did y'all get that? Man, I can remember about 5 or 6 years ago when I first read that for the first time. The older, stronger brother looks to the weaker, younger brother and says, if it be overwhelming for me, come help me. Man, I want to say some of you younger guys, some of you guys in this church, that you look at me and say, oh, that's the pastor. Oh, he's been this, he's this, he's that. Listen to this. Don't put me on a pedestal I don't belong, because God will take me off of it. Amen? What I would want to tell you is this. Look, when you're fighting your battles, when you're fighting your struggles, and I don't know what they are, I know you have them. I know you do. And I know they get overwhelming sometimes. But guess what? I got my battles too. I've got things that I'm fighting too. And if they be too much for me, I'm going to need you to help me. I need you to pray for me. I need you to come alongside. If you see me going under, I need you to just send reinforcements. Send some help. Don't be afraid to help me, because I will be looking for the help to come. I'm not too proud to accept help. I'm not too proud to say, I don't need you to pray for me. I got that. No, I'm going to be like, come on. I'm getting overwhelmed. I wish we knew this in the church. Just because you get older as a believer doesn't mean the attacks don't stop coming. Some people will tell me, they'll say, you won't believe. Oh, it's going to be. You're not going to believe what happened. You're not going to believe what some people in your church are doing. You're crazy. You're crazy. If you don't think, I'm the pastor's here, you don't think that I know that stuff's going on in our church. So-and-so's drinking. So-and-so had an affair. So-and-so's lying. So-and-so's cussing. So-and-so, they're doing this. Can you believe that? Well, they come to our church. They're going to be under spiritual attack. Absolutely, I believe it. What are we going to do about it? We're going to pray. We're going to encourage. We're going to engage. We're going to pray for them. We're going to encourage them to keep coming. Amen? And if we have to, we're going to engage. What does that mean? When we see them, amen? I read this thing the other day. Just because somebody left doesn't mean you're an enemy of theirs. We're not gangs up in here. Amen? Yo, we're flat top independent. Right? You left us. No. If you see them, you engage them. Man, we love you. We miss you. We would love for to have you back, but we want you somewhere serving God. That's the most important thing. We love you, brother. We love you, sister. We love you. I see the enemy's overwhelming you. I'm engaging. I'm helping you. I'm here for you. I'm praying for you. I don't know if you'll ever come back to the church, but the church should be able to come to you. And I love that. And he says to the younger brother, if they become overwhelming to you, and if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. I wish we could just tell somebody, I'm coming. I'm coming. I'll be there. And mean it. I'll be there. Amen? I've got a few guys in my life, in this church, a few of them. Probably more than you think, but I mean, I've got a couple. Listen, I make them promises. Like, man, I'm always going to be there. I love you. If you ever need anything, I'll be there for you. Just call me. Just let me know. And if I don't see you for a while, I'm going to come see you. Amen? I need you in my life. I need you in my life. I'm there for you. Amen? I'm there for you. No matter what. You can be mad at me. I can be mad at you. I can hurt your feelings. You can hurt my feelings. But at the end of it, I'm coming. Golly, y'all need, man, I wish we'd get that. We need to start telling our brothers and sisters, hey, you know what? It ain't about what's going on in our lives. No matter how we're getting along, I'll be there. I'll be there for you. Amen? It's the show up and shut up ministry. Sometimes you ain't got to come down there and say, I told you. All you do is sit down and say, I'm here. I told you I'd be here. How are we going to get out of this? How are we going to get out of this? I'm going to preach this last point and we'll be done. Watch this right here. Scott, y'all come. Whoever's singing the closing song. Watch this right here. 2 Samuel 10, verse 12. Y'all ready? Watch this. Oh, this is so good. Y'all, can y'all help me finish right here? Watch this right here. This is a good recipe for success right here. Be of good courage. Don't be afraid to stand up for God. Let us play the men. Glory to God. Let's do the role that we've been called to do. Let's be the men and women of God. Let's play the role. Let's do it. Amen? For our people. Whew. For our cities. And for our God. Whew. For our people. Our people perish. Because the church is missing. Our cities are falling apart because the church is missing. And for our God, because He is watching. Watch this right here. And the Lord do that which seemeth Him good. Oh, I love this. This is going to be a recipe for the rest of my life. Do it of good courage. Do it for the people, the city, and God. And do it to the best of your ability. And let God, let Him do His part. I can do my part. I can only control my attitude and my actions. That's only two things I can control, my attitude and my actions. I can't control the outcome, but the one who has the outcome is the one who has my soul. I will resign to God that He has the outcome worked out, whatever it seems good to Him, let it happen. But meanwhile, I'm going to do what God's called me to do. I'm playing the role that God has given me. You need to do the same. We need to fight the battle. We got a battle ahead of us. And a battle behind us. We're going to need you in this fight. We're going to need you in this fight called Flat Top Independent Church. Because we got people that are lost. We've got cities that are lost. And we got a God who's waiting, watching to see if we will. At the end of my life, I don't want to say, man, I wished I'd done more. At the end of my life, I'll say, I try to get as much out of it as I possibly can. Right now, we are a church that has the opportunity to do great things for God today, now. Let's all stand. God spoke.